Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and it's Wednesday, November 12th, 2008. Happy Fantasy Football Week 11.
Week 11, and joining us, of course, from lovely Henderson, Nevada, the guru himself, the mastermind himself from Fantasy Football Mastermind, Mike Nazarek. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, you don't sound very good, man.
I'm great. I'm doing as best as I can under the pressure of these short weeks. But I had a really good week this past week in most of my leagues. So I'm very happy.
Yeah. Yes, and I have looked at all of my teams, all 15 of them, and there is only one that doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of making the playoffs. And that is Emma's Terror Dome sitting at 0-9.
Ooh.
Have an 0-9 team?
I do have an 0-9 team.
How do you have an 0-9? I got a 1-9.
Well, I'll tell you about all of that in a moment.
Championship.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
Okay, guys, I'm in eight leagues, and my worst record in any of these eight is 5-5, and I'm in first place in a couple of those 5-5 leagues. So I'm doing pretty darn good. I'm happy. I don't have a 9-1 team or a 10-0 team. I've got 7-3, 6-4, 5-5, and I'm pretty darn happy.
I am the smartest man alive!
That's just awesome. but every other single team is in fourth place or above.
There you go.
Fourth place or above.
Which means I'm getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, no.
Which means, because the top four teams are going to get to the playoffs. So I'm getting to the playoffs.
You mean fourth place in your division?
I thought you meant fourth place in your division.
No. In the entire league.
Naz and I are like, big deal. That means that you're still playing?
No, fourth place.
My 1-9 team is in fourth place.
Fourth place or above in the entire league, which means you're getting to the playoffs. Yeah. If I continue to win the way I'm winning right now, all of the teams, except for that 0-9 disaster, or 0-10 disaster now, will be making the playoffs.
Well, Steven, you and Naz both get
game ball.
Thank you very much. We get some game balls.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
All right, well, we're going to start, Mike. We're going to shoot some news items off at you so we can get your opinions. And then we'll, of course, do our weekly clicks and flicks because I've got some good ones this week.
Ooh, I got humdingers.
And I'm gonna pimp Mike's. He is going to flick a big-time name. Ooh, how about that? How's that for drama? Well, you'll want to stick around and see what big-time name Mike Nazarek
doesn't want to have any part of this week.
Once again, check it out, www.ffmastermind.com. All right, we're going to start in the news, and we're going to go around the carousel of quarterbacks is what I'm calling it. Lots of injuries, lots and lots of what we call
ship all banged up.
And we'll start with the Seattle Seahawks. As Matt Hasselbeck is set to return, what do you know there, Mike?
Well, he got out on the practice field today, and there was no setback, and not that we know of. And, it was funny because they asked Mike Holmgren before the practice session, what is Matt Hasselbeck going to have to do in order to prove to you that he's ready to play this week? And basically, he said, breathe. So...
Okay.
You think Mike Holmgren wants to see Matt Hasselbeck play for his team? He probably doesn't want to lose any more games.
Mike has had a remarkably good disposition about this abysmal season. And I really do think that it is essential as an NFL coach.
Because there is one thing that you cannot do regarding injuries. You just can't control that.
That's right. But you can do what a lot of coaches do, which is go crazy.
Yes.
Obsessing about this, and Holmgren's like,
the Bears are who they thought we were.
Yeah,
you can go crazy like
they
that.
Thought we were.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
what it sounded like for a second.
Yeah, well, he was insane enough. He might as well have said that. And Holmgren's been around this game far too long, and he's like, look, you know what? This isn't my swan song that I wanted. This isn't what I dialed up on the charts. But you know what? It is what it is. And he made the joke about going out on the streets looking for wide receivers and things like that. He has kept his humor about him. And that is all the more reason to love Mike Holmgren.
There you go.
I dig him. Man crush.
Okay. now heading to Pittsburgh, where Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger apparently got the subtle hint from head coach Mike Tomlin and decided that he was going to get some practice time in. What do you know about that, Mike?
Basically Tomlin said, Big Ben needs more practice. You got to practice and show me that you can, get through a full practice session, especially today and the rest of this week and in order to start. Otherwise, Byron Leftwich was going to start. And Big Ben got through the practice session, so it looks like he's good to go, barring a setback. Of course, with that shoulder, he can go through a full practice. The next day, he could wake up sore. So we have to just kind of wait and see how he handles it the rest of this week. But as of right now, he's still set to go. And of course, they also want to get Willie Parker back out on the field, and he's going to expected to start. He's going to start. By the way, I think that there was some talk out there about having a torn labrum there, but they're calling it
a subwoofer.
It's a subwoofer.
A thing that provides the bass in your audio
systems. I
can't
even say that word, but apparently it's not as bad as a torn labrum.
Subterranean.
And they expect him to start this week.
Okay. All right, so he will be starting.
My question is, what the hell is he doing throwing over 30 passes a game? That is not Ben Roethlisberger's game.
Yeah.
A successful Pittsburgh Steelers game has been throwing 20 passes a game, and the rest of it is ground chuck.
They don't
just
have
boom, boom,
a,
boom,
well,
boom,
you remember
boom,
that. That they used to have Jerome Bettis back there, and also when Willie Parker was completely healthy. So and Parker's been beat up. Mwalde Moore is more of a
he's supposed to be a third down back, but it doesn't matter. You still have to run the ball. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not successful if Ben Roethlisberger is throwing the ball more than 25 times a game, I would say. And it's not right. They've got it. They should put him in a situation where he can succeed. He is still a young quarterback in this league, and he is not one of those gunslingers that just goes out there all day and throws it.
Well, they do have the San Diego Chargers this week, so I said let him go out there and throw it because the Chargers can't stop anybody. If Tyler Thigpen can go throw three touchdown passes and 270 yards on him.
He may be the real deal, dude. We don't know this about the Pigpen.
Well, we'll talk about
Pigpen. I think also Big Ben misses, Heath Miller's got that sprained ankle, and they really haven't used Miller very much in the passing game. They were very effective in the red zone last year and in a short passing game. Now it's really easy throws for Ben to make, and they're just not featuring him this year because they want to use him more as a blocker. I think the offensive line, basically, they don't have Alan Faneca anymore, so, they have to make do with what they got, and they had some offensive line injuries. I think Marvell Smith's injured, so, they just can't stop the pressure from getting to Ben, and they get in situations where they fall behind in games, and then they have to throw.
I think Matt Spath will take care of that this week with Heath Miller out, and I do think that they'll actually be checking down a little bit more because his arm is clearly not healthy enough. Not only has it never been that strong to go 70 yards in the air, but he's clearly underthrowing guys, and he's not hitting his precision targets, and that is causing all sorts of nonsense what we're seeing.
He's hurt. But I think
that's my point, and that's what Naz is saying is like, look, when you're hurt and when you cannot count on the deep ball is when you need to be checking down to your tight ends and things like that and not wasting these guys just as blockers.
Well, I'm only asking the Pittsburgh Steelers once again, why aren't you giving this guy a couple weeks? Leftwich came in and
very
performed
capable
admirably, and why isn't he getting 2 weeks to get healthy? Here come the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers in position where they cannot lose a football game, and they're going to come into Pittsburgh to do everything they can to win. And the Steelers lose, and now they're in 6-4. Now they're in some trouble. So we'll see what happens if Big Ben Roethlisberger gets the start there. Another quarterback that I need to ask you about, returning from injury, Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys. How's the pinky holding up? And I'm pretty sure he's starting this week against the Redskins, but would you play him?
Well, definitely. In fact, I am going to play him. I've got him in a big high-stakes contest, and I've been waiting 4 weeks to get him back. I've been toggling back and forth between Eli Manning and Chad Pennington and been losing about 8 or 9 points on that from Romo's production. But he's been practicing all week. He gets a little bit of pain in that pinky when he takes a direct snap under center. But other than that, he's been very sharp. He's been making all the throws, no issues there. Really excited to get back on the field, and of course, the media there has been crowding him around and saying, "Hey, you ready to bring the team back to what it was?" And he treating him like he's the godsend here. And he says, "Hey, I just want to help the team, and we got to get back on a roll. We got plenty of time. you know, he's confident that the Dallas Cowboys can turn around and have a big second half here, make the playoffs. Well, that remains to be seen, but their offense is going to be a lot better with Tony Romo going, though, and he is going to start this week.
All right, one more quarterback question before we move to the running backs. Dante Culpepper in Detroit.
So?
He gets the starting nod again this week for the Lions.
So?
Now, what do you think? What do you think there?
Yeah, what do I think? I mean, he's kind of like, so.
Didn't I say it all? I think I said it all.
He had a huge completion to Calvin Johnson,
yes,
and he's
he
only moving.
I know, that was one pass, and it didn't even go for a score.
As Yoda would say.
Well, the news there is Dan Orlovsky went to see a doctor, and he's thinking about having surgery on his thumb, but he's going to wait another couple weeks. In fact, Detroit may put him on IR. They know that, or at least that they feel this way about Drew Stanton, the rookies, that he's not ready. But they do have a package in for him if they get around the goal line again. So, you know, even if Dante does have success, if they get around the goal line, he might just come out and lose a touchdown pass, you know. So the bottom line here is with Dante, I just wouldn't even trust starting him. Maybe if you have a dynasty team, you put him on your bench there and keep him around, but I just don't see that changing. It's almost become like it's going to become like a quarterback by committee type situation.
He is a dynasty.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move.
By the way, guys, before we move from quarterbacks, other guy, and we forgot about him last week, and I brought him up again. Steve made me like forget him. Kyle Orton. He practiced today, albeit limited. He feels pretty good. The ankle's still hurting him, but he feels that if things continue to progress, that he'll be able to start this week, and that's big news for Chicago Bears offense.
Yes, sorry about that. I keep forgetting about Rex Gross, man. So
yeah. I wouldn't want to think about him either.
Yeah, so there you go. So Orton should be starting if everything
that's
goes.
Huge.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, he's got to continue to progress. You know, but I mean, he could have a setback at any time. It's a very delicate thing, the ankle. He's not going to be very mobile, but, you know, if they continue to rehab it, he felt pretty good today. You know, he'd be limping around, and, you know, they're going to have to, you know, make sure that they protect him a little bit more and maybe not open it up and keep it to short passing drops, you know, instead of seven-step drops. But hopefully he'll be able to go, and that's good news for all the offensive Bears.
All right.
All the players.
That is good. Thank you very much for bringing up big Kyle Orton there. Running backs, I want to talk about the Cadillac in Tampa Bay. He's out of the shop, and the Bucs have activated him. What do we know about him, and is he worthy of picking up?
Well, he's worthy of picking up, but don't start him this week because he might not even play this week. Basically, John Gruden likes the way he's progressed, and so they activated him. They cut Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett's not getting any respect. I don't know why he didn't get very many carries there, action, especially when Work Done and Ernest Graham were beat up a couple of weeks ago. But he's gone now. And what's funny about that, on a side note, is that, you know, Denver needs all these running backs, and the
Seriously.
Chargers go out and claim Michael Bennett just to keep him away from Denver.
Smart.
But getting back to the we can talk about that then in a second if you've got any questions about that.
Brilliant.
With Caddy, they're going to bring him along slowly. He may get in the game this week, depending on the situation. Maybe if they're up late in the game and they just want to give him a few carries. But now Ernest Graham is kind of questionable. He didn't practice today, but they feel that, you know, that hopefully he'll be able to practice later in the week, maybe on Friday, and maybe able to play. If he can't, then Work Done will start at running back and carry most of the load for the team. And I think then you might see a little bit of Cadillac Williams down the road. He's definitely worth picking up because, you know, Gruden likes these players, and you know, he likes Caddy. So even though it's kind of a risk, pick him up, stash him on your bench, and you know, who knows if Graham's injury gets worse or if Dunn gets injured again, Caddy may be starting in 2 or 3, 4 weeks down the road.
Yeah, and I want to throw that out there to all of the fantasy owners. In case you haven't noticed, or in case it's slipped your radar because you're busy with work and the kids or whatever, 5 weeks are over. Clear your bench of unnecessary players, okay? If you're holding two kickers or something like that, dump the other one. You know, fill your bench with guys that have a real chance. Look down the road. Look at the playoff rosters, the playoff lineups, who's got whom in which week and things like that, and start thinking about setting yourself up for later in the season, because although week 11 sounds pretty late in the season, we still got a lot of football to play.
Lots of football.
And so be thinking about that and go through, and I'm dumping my third quarterback where I was just, I couldn't decide because they were all kind of mediocre.
Right.
Well, I finally forced myself, look, I'm just sticking to these two, and I'm dumping this other one just to free up a roster spot to go and take a flyer on somebody at running back that I desperately needed. So I think I really want to encourage people to go out there and manage your team completely till the end. You won't be sorry.
Yes. And for those of you who are 0-10, Steven Miranda, keep playing, keep moving your roster. I'm still making moves.
Absolutely.
And stuff, so
I still sell.
I am not going to go over. They're going to win.
Now it's a thing.
You don't want to be a kitty cat, do you?
Yeah. No. I am not going to be a kitty cat. I'm going to go out.
We suck again.
That's right. That's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, I'm going out on a limb. Emma's Terror Dome is going to get a win this weekend. There you go.
Is this the first fantasy team you've named after your poor little girl?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
So Emma's going to be
hopefully for her life. And if based on this team, she may never get another team named after her ever again.
Oh, come
now,
on.
Now, on the flip side, Elena's Bumblebees are 7-3.
Elena's a tank. I wouldn't put a 14-year-old up against Elena. She'd kick his ass. Now, so, Emma, I mean, she's just still toddling. She still walks with her hands up in the air, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't think you can put that on her.
Yeah, so.
I mean, Elena's already had a couple seasons of basketball and t-ball under her. And it's not like Emma's played any organized
sport
yet.
She doesn't know what
sports
is. She does put her hands up in the air for touchdowns, though.
That's good.
When a touchdown is
scored.
Do
you realize, Michael, that Steven has so warped and hardened his family that his little girls, his precious, beautiful little girls, my nieces, he can scream as loud as he wants on game day about officiating,
and they don't even flinch. Yeah.
They do
I
not.
Wish, can he teach my
Marcia
wife
how
that?
To do that? It's like, what do you mean? And then she just freaks out and drops dishes all over the place. Michael, you scared me to death. And no, Steven's
Marcia
little girls.
Can't stand. Yeah, she can't stand it when I yell at the screen. I mean, you know, I lived in Alabama for 30 years, so I'm a big, huge Roll Tide, Crimson Tide fan.
They call Alabama's the Crimson Tide.
It was a tough game. And I was just right in front of the TV and everything, and she just couldn't even stay in the same room. She just had to leave.
You're not going
to
like me very much, Mike, but I hope you guys lose to Florida.
Wow.
Oh,
that's kind of cold.
I'm sorry, dude.
We're
going to
be in Florida this weekend. You can't do that.
I want Florida to beat Alabama is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Yes,
you're talking about the SEC championship. That's a whole other story.
Yeah,
first of all, we got to get there first. I'm not counting the chickens before they hatch.
I know. That's
you do that. We have to beat Auburn for the first time in like 8 years.
That's true.
In 2 weeks.
That's
so
true. You'll be able
I'll
to do that.
I'll just cross my fingers and hope that we don't blow that game because it's at home. So
I need either
Yeah, why can't you guys beat Auburn?
As a Texas Longhorn fan, I need either Alabama or Texas Tech to lose a game. And
Texas Tech's going to lose.
I don't know.
They're playing above their heads.
No, they are not. And that is what everybody believes. This team is for real.
Okay.
Okay, we got to get
back to
fantasy
football.
Guys,
right.
This is going to become the college football show. By the way, I want to get back real quick before we move on. I want to get back about the Michael Bennett thing. Yeah, Michael Bennett was cut by the Bucks when they activated Cadillac Williams. And then both Denver and San Diego put a claim on him, and San Diego had the worst record. So they got him, even though they're stacked at running back, basically because they didn't want Denver getting an experienced veteran running back. And, of course,
they got Mike
Denver,
Bell.
Denver went out and signed Tatum Bell.
Yeah.
So, but he's not in football shape, so don't expect to see Tatum Bell.
I knew it was one of the dinglings. One of the bells.
Mm-hmm.
So does that get us to that part of the show?
I think it does. Gets us to the clicks and flicks. And we're going to let our gracious host, Michael Nazarek, start us off at the quarterback position. Who are you clicking? Who's the guy to pick up?
And why?
Oh, I had to do this. Tyler Thigpen has been playing out of his mind. I mean, I think he's had like 6 touchdown passes in the last 3 games. And he's playing the New Orleans Saints, who just gave up a couple of easy scores to the Falcons to Matt Ryan this past week. And of course, the KC's playing at home. Everything is setting up perfectly here for another big game for Tyler. And so we were making fun of this guy like a month ago, but I tell you, you know, he's producing. He loves running the spread offense down there. You know, he's got his new favorite receivers, Mark Bradley, down there. And, you know, so if you need help at quarterback, and he's on the waiver wire, pick him up. This guy's almost got as many points as Kurt Warner in the last 3 weeks. He's playing way
he's
over.
Actually, he actually is in the ESPN leagues that we play in our scoring. He, over the last 3 weeks, combined scoring, he has more points than any other quarterback. He went 23,
that's
24,
amazing.
And 27. Tyler
Thigpen. Very close to the top, yeah.
His last 3 weeks, 23, 24 and 27.
You gotta like
better.
That trending data.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
so
it's gonna be interesting to
it's
see
just
what
like
happens
the stock
when, you know,
market.
With Larry Johnson coming back on the team this week. But I still think that they'd be crazy to change that offense. They're probably just gonna give Larry, you know, some carries here and there, maybe get 13, 15 touches like that, and then just keep throwing the ball because why not? Why not? It's working.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's the reason why I decided not to click him. I still think Thigpen's gonna do very well this weekend. But that's
Steven,
why
you apparently didn't hear Herman's press conference.
What did he say? Did he say
when asked specifically? No, when asked, he didn't say anyone was going to be fine.
Okay.
Actually, he said almost just the opposite. When asked specifically about Larry Johnson and whether he would return to his starting duties, he says, "We'll find a way to work Larry into the mix."
There you go.
There you go.
And
yeah,
that is coach speak for those who don't know of. I'm still pissed at him, and he'll be lucky if he gets 5 touches.
Well, but we don't know.
But that's coach speak.
That's
Herm Edwards,
and he could
pretty
give
ticked
him the ball
off.
35 times.
He's not going to.
I think
to,
he'll start,
he
but
not.
I wouldn't be surprised if they throw the ball the first 10 plays of the game. You know, just give to basically make it known, you know, to Larry that, hey, you're no longer the main guy.
You are not
here.
The man here.
All right. So Tyler Thigpen, Jeffrey, who you got?
At quarterback, I'm clicking on – now, don't go choking on anything.
We may.
No, well, Jake DeLome.
The guy
okay,
you flipped last
a
week.
Joke for,
it's
for
not
me
a
last
joke.
Week, right?
I swear to you. I went through. I did my homework. I did my analysis. Now, mind you, I picked third this week. We should be upfront about all this. We rotate through because it's really simple to go first.
Right,
isn't it? I mean, we've all gone first a
all
few times.
All the quarterbacks are
and
available.
And so it's like everyone's available. You're just like, oh, this is easy. That one, that one, that one, that one, that one. I'm done. And then we email them to the next. So as a group, we're emailing each other. And then number 2's up. Well, I was number 3 this week. So every time I'd get to whomever it is I wanted, they were already gone. Tyler Thigpen. Oh, that's going to be so cool. I got so many great things to say about Tyler. Naz got him. Okay, never mind. Oh, you know, Matt Ryan. Oh. Never mind. Steve's got him. So I'm sitting here, and I'm running through all my things, and Jake DeLome jumps out at me. Call me crazy, but I think he bounces back. He has Detroit, which is quarterback paradise.
Well, okay,
they allow the most points per game to quarterbacks by almost a factor of 2-1. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you don't bounce back against that team after throwing 4 picks the previous week at Oakland, then your career is over, and I still believe that Carolina believes, John Fox has them believing, that they're still going to the playoffs.
Well, they're
well, this is my point. And if they are, then they've got to start winning easy games like these. And you have to let last week go in the rearview mirror as quickly as possible.
You guys know, I mean, in my newsletter, I clicked Jake DeLome, and I actually talked about him in the market, you know, talking about his bad game and the fact that head coach John Fox, you know, believes that he'll rebound. This is probably if their trading deadline's coming up in a week or two and you're weak at quarterback. You know, this is probably a good time to actually buy on Jake DeLome. You know,
yeah,
it's coming off.
I agree.
Game.
Because they got games that matter that they play for, and teams that are playing for something play a lot harder,
all
put
right.
up a lot
so
more points.
So Naz has Tyler Thigpen, Jeff
so,
has
yeah.
Jake DeLome. I'm going to click Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Matt has been money at home this year in his home game. When he's played in Atlanta,
he
has just been on fire. And this week, he gets to play the Denver Broncos, and that defense has more holes in the secondary than Swiss cheese. So
can't stop anybody.
Matt Ryan is the way to go. If you've got him, start him with confidence. Moving on to the running back position, Jeffrey, we'll move to you. Who are you clicking?
I'm clicking on Mawelde Moore, Pittsburgh. Do not fear the return of fast Willie Parker. Still plenty of touches and receptions to go around. He is at worst a solid running back two play, at absolute worst, and I think he's a low-end number one running back play.
Really?
Yeah,
you think
really.
They're going to split the carries evenly down there? I'm not quite so sure on that.
I don't know that they'll split them evenly.
In the PPR league, he's got more value because he catches a lot of passes. And they would be kind of stupid to give Parker all the touches, especially with his
done
shoulder.
He's done way too much that he has sliced out a role from himself. From what I read in the Pittsburgh Gazette, I think it is, they are so enamored with him and what he's brought to the team. And he is really the thing, the little spark that's keeping them going and lighting their little flame. So,
all right. My click at the running back position for the second week in a row, I'm going to say D'Angelo Williams. He's your guy. I know I clicked him last week and he delivered, and I expect him to put up better numbers this week because he's going up against the kitty cats. He should run the ball and get into the end zone not once, but twice.
Mike, should we have a no double click rule?
No double click
probably.
Rule. No double click rule.
It's like
no
tag
double
backs.
Click in terms
it's
of
like
back
no
to back. Can't pick the same guy in the same position.
All right. I mean, he's starting next week
later on, but yeah. Not back to back.
Yeah, okay. I think right. We're establishing that as okay. A new rule. It's like no tag backs.
New
it's a
rule
too easy.
Yeah, you can't change rules in the middle of the game.
No, but for next week we can.
Okay, well there you go. So
next week we
I
can,
won't.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that I click a different running back next week.
That means I get D'Angelo. Woo!
Okay, Naz, who you got?
Well, I like the guy that's going to go Wildcat all on the Raiders, and that's Ronnie Brown. He scored this past week, and then he had the big handoff to Ricky Williams up the gut for the long score. But I think he's going to score multiple times on the Raiders. Raiders' pass defense has really improved, and I think that Miami's just going to run a whole bunch of different formations out there, and I think Ronnie Brown's going to have a big game.
You forgot one thing, Mike. Mm-hmm. The Raiders suck.
Yeah.
You left that out of your analysis.
Yes. I'm going
to
go.
I don't mean to embarrass you. You know, you're the mastermind, but you neglected that in your analysis.
I'm also going to go on record here right now, just drop every single Oakland Raider player. I don't care if it's Jamarcus Russell. I don't care if it's Darren McFadden. Just get rid of
them.
What
about their defense?
Get rid of them.
Kicker?
Get rid of them.
Come on, kicker.
Dude, in 3 weeks, they've scored 9 points.
Zach Miller still has some value.
They've scored 9
yeah,
points.
I'm clicking Zach Miller this week.
3 weeks, 9 points is while that offense has scored.
No, I'm actually flicking Zach Miller now that I look down there.
So there you go.
Never mind. Yeah,
I would not
right.
play
Drop
a single Oakland Raider. They have scored 9 points in the last 3 weeks.
Not to
and
get
they
up.
Haven't scored a touchdown in 3.5 weeks.
Now, not to get on a tangent here. However, it is very interesting as Steven and I have gotten closer and closer to our friends in the UK, which on our NFL show make up more than 30% of our listeners. I don't know if you know this, Mike, that in the English Premier League, it is not a given that your team stays in the English Premier League.
Yes.
Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
If you finish dead last, you move down into essentially what is the minor leagues of soccer. And they take the team that won the minor league division, and they take their place.
The problem is
really?
there are about 116 NCAA teams that play football. Probably every single one of them could beat the Oakland Raiders right now.
I don't know. I'd like to see it. I mean, I'd like to see UCLA and Oakland go at it, you know.
And it would be
well,
like,
you know, the interim head coach Tom Cable stripped the offensive coordinator of his ability to call plays, so,
which means
you know now if they hit south, it's all on this guy's head, and he's not going to be coming back.
Oh, no.
Maybe I guess they might demote him back to being offensive line guru, but this guy's supposed to be calling the formations and stuff for the offensive line, the numbers there, and how can he do that and call plays for the offense?
I think Mike Singletary showed very clearly this week how difficult it is to transition into being a head coach and managing the entire game when you do have position coaches. Okay, when you do have coordinators.
Yeah. That,
because they botched the end of that game, and Cable saying, bring it on. Bring it on. I want more of that responsibility. Yeah. I'm like, look, Singletary is as much of a baller as there is.
Cable is just making it very easy for Hare at the end of the season to say, get out of here.
And not pay
That's
him.
That's right.
And not pay him.
And not have to pay him.
Even though they botched that at the end of the game, you know, at least he
seconds.
Is taking all the duties away from them. And I tell you, you know, there's something about Singletary. When they make the big plays, and Vernon Davis made the big catch, up the hands in the air with a fist. Yeah, I like that. I like seeing the coach show emotion when the team does well.
I love Singletary. I loved him as a player. He was one of the few Raiders that I actually liked. Okay.
I think that Singletary is kind of a rah-rah guy, and he'd be suited better to coach college football team than a professional.
Man, I think
team.
He could grow into, right, if they gave him a chance, I think he could grow into this. But that not being able to run a two-minute drill at the goal line was inexcusable. I mean, we do that in Madden twice a week, where you've got the ball, and you run up there and spike, you hold the X button, and you just spike the ball.
Okay.
You don't take
25
seconds.
You know what March said? March said that they moved the ball back on him. He thought it was at the one or one and a half.
Yeah, now they're bitching about that. It's it takes you 25 seconds of going, wow, I wish they hadn't done that. Why don't you just spike the ball and then talk about it later?
Yeah, there was no reason when they got the ball down to the one. Why are you substituting players in with 45 seconds?
Exactly.
You're trying to do that, and then you're trying to line them up in a certain formation just so you can spike the ball, and you waste 25 seconds doing that. There was no excuse for that.
Yes. Let's move on to wide receivers, because we could be on all night talking about that horrible clock management there
and bay ball in general.
Wide receivers, I'll go first. And yes, believe it or not, I am clicking Marvin Harrison of the Indianapolis Colts.
And my question to you is, why?
I'll tell you why. Because over the last 2 weeks, Manning and Harrison have been inches away, just inches away from connecting on huge plays.
Yeah.
This is the week that they're going to become lethal. And against the Houston Texans, I expect Manning to Harrison to finally start clicking. They're finally will get on the same page.
So that gap of inches is going to become fingertips.
It's going to be catches. It's going to be,
well, with Marvin, if he can get his fingertips on the ball, it's a catch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, like literally, like Manning is either overthrown to Biden.
I agree.
Or underthrown to Biden.
I agree.
And I think this is the week against the Texans. They step it up, and I expect Harrison to get in the end zone a couple times at home.
I hope you're right, because there's one team in particular that I have to play him.
Yeah,
I don't have many choices at wide receiver, and he's been nothing but a nightmare.
I say this week, play him with confidence. Naz, who do you got?
Well, I got Mr. Unstoppable, Mark Bradley, of course.
Sure.
It's Thigpen to Bradley.
Thigpen to Bradley.
Oh, maybe it might be Bradley to Thigpen. Didn't that happen a couple weeks
ago? Yes, it did. And Thigpen looked good going over the shoulder.
He's probably going to catch 8 or 9 passes for 80, 90 yards. And the score against the Saints, he's been getting more targets than Dwayne Bowe in that offense. Thigpen loves them. So this guy was pulled off the scrap heap in Chicago. He couldn't play. He was always injured, right? Well, he's uninjured, and he's playing pretty well down in Kansas City. Some guys just need a change of scenery, and I think he's got his change that he wanted. And I'd go. In fact, you know what? I am picking him up and starting him over Laverne's Coles this week in one league.
Wow.
That's how much confidence I have in Mark Bradley.
Bradley is only owned in 2.4% of ESPN leagues. So, and this guy has scored, once again, look at this trend, 10, 13, 15 points over the last 3 weeks.
That is the
trend. That's not even in a PPR league.
No, that's not a PPR.
We're talking over 20.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, there you go. That's a very good click there for Naz. Jeffrey, who you got?
I got Wes Welker. New England, a ton of yards, but not more than one touchdown. Strong wide receiver 2 play, I think, here. I'm looking, was scraping the barrel, trying to figure out something that would work for people. He's a PPR monster, speaking of PPR.
Yeah.
And so
he leads the league in catches, I think 66.
Yeah. It's ridiculous sick.
He's an automatic play in PPR leagues.
Yes.
I've got him on a team, and I always play him.
But for regular straight up, I think this week is a really good play for him. So I would get him, make sure that he gets on your
roster. All right,
so
the 3 wide receivers we got, Marvin Harrison, Wes Welker, and Mark Bradley of the Kansas City Chiefs. Finally up, the final clicks
for
week
ends.
11, the tight ends. And Jeffrey, why don't we start with you?
I appreciate you starting with my tight end. Now, hear me out here. Matt Spaeth. Who?
Okay.
Heath Miller's backup in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Against the San Diego Chargers. Do you realize the San Diego Chargers give up 4 more points per game at the to tight ends than anybody else in all of football.
Okay.
This is something that I pointed out to my subscribers about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I mean, almost every single tight end except for maybe Ben Watson has either scored or caught like 4 or 5 passes they're normally catching only 1 or 2. So
12.4 points per game at the tight end position.
No-brainer.
And so for this, it's going to be essential. And so since Heath Miller's out, you've got to go out and pick him up. And if you just for this week, he should get you 10 points. Boom. And how often can you say that from your tight end? I can pretty much count on him to get 10 points. Tight ends you can usually count on to hopefully keep you in positive points and not get you negative points.
Okay. Yeah, last season, it was all of them were scoring, but this year it's gone
much,
even
much harder.
Reversed. Not even to the point that we were in 2006. So, yeah, points from the tight ends very, very scarce.
Well, you're chatting it up, Nas, so why don't you talk to us about your tight end?
Bo Scaife in Tennessee. I mean, what did he have, like 10 catches and a score last week?
Yep, he was
my click last
week. He
probably won't catch as many because they won't need to pass as much against the Jags, but they will, and he's one of Kerry Collins' favorite targets. And so if they get around the goal line, Scaife's going to catch it for score and start him.
And we'll be there in the north end zone.
See, I could have clicked Scaife again because I clicked him last week and he did great. I was going to do it again, but then I was like, no, I can't.
I bet they're going to institute a double click rule.
Yeah, I did. The double click rule. So I didn't do it. But no, I like Scaife. I think that right now he and Kerry Collins are on the same page and they are hooking up a lot.
Remember, Kerry Collins does lead in ugliest quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So far in the early voting.
My tight end, Vernon Davis of the San Francisco 49ers. And before you go, really?
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 Sorry.
Look, he finally got in the end zone last week against the Cardinals on the road. This week against the hapless St. Louis Rams at home, he will be much better. And the Rams they do not cover the tight end well. Expect Vernon Davis to have a good game this week.
Another example, though, Singletary. Giving him a big old bear hug after he made a great play.
Yes, he did.
And he was the guy who went to the doghouse. He said, I don't want to see your face. Go into the locker room and dress.
The previous week. And he also gave...
You guys know the story about that. You know, his helmet came off, or he took his helmet off, and they were penalized.
Right.
And so when Vernon Davis was on the sidelines and he didn't have his helmet on, and Singletary was first told about that, he came on over, and he was kind of serious. He wanted to tell him, hey, you can't be taking your helmet off. And Vernon just gives him that big old smile and hugs him, and he's seen Singletary go, I don't want to be hugged right now. And then like 10 seconds later, he patted him on the head and was smiling, Singletary was. So that was kind of a fun moment.
I sure hope he sticks around.
Okay. So that is all the clicks. We all got our tight ends in, right? Bo Scaife.
Yeah.
Vernon Davis.
Oh, I don't think I went. Yeah,
yes,
I did. Yeah. I did the Pittsburgh back in. Yeah. So I suppose it's time for
going to the bench.
Going to the bench. These are the flicks for week 11. Flicks. Not necessarily get them off your roster unless they're an Oakland Raider. But these are just make sure that you keep them on the bench this week. We don't think that they will be good enough. We'll start with you, Naz, at the quarterback position. Who do you got?
Well, you're going to be watching and getting a good close-up of my flick this week, David Garrard in Jacksonville. They're playing Tennessee undefeated, very, very tough defense. Matt Jones is beat up. He'll probably end up playing because, you know, his suspension's not here yet. But he does have the thigh, so he's not going to be 100%. Mike Walker, still not 100% off that knee. He may or may not play. Jerry Porter's kind of in and out, and Reggie Williams doesn't get very many targets. I just don't think it's a very good game or time to play to start David Garrard this week.
David.
Okay,
Girard,
we'll give you a personal report on Monday morning.
We will. All right.
Okay.
Who do you got there, Jeffrey?
Who do I got here flicking the quarterbacks? Eli Manning, believe it or not. Playing Baltimore is not the best matchup for the other Manning, and I think he falls off this week.
All right, well, I'm sorry to do it.
It's nothing personal, Nas. I don't get personal in fantasy football.
I've got the quarterback on the other side of that game.
No.
Ryan Flacco of the Baltimore Ravens. Rookie's been impressive.
Very.
I'll give him that much.
Very.
But not this week on the road against the New York Giants, who are ranked number 2 versus the pass.
They love
killing quarterbacks.
It's Joe Flacco. You mean Joe Flacco, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was saying Matt Ryan.
You were thinking Matt Ryan.
I got all the rookies. They're all on me. I'm sorry. Yes.
Conglomerated.
Flacco. I said Ryan Flacco. I got both the rookie names there. Yes. Joe Flacco. No way that he's going to go up and perform admirably on the road against the New York Giants. And these guys like to put pressure on the quarterbacks. They're going to pressure him into some mistakes, into some rookie mistakes, and he is not the way to go this week. Naz?
Oh, let's move to my shocking flick at running back this week.
Now,
or you want to go,
Jeffrey?
You
I need
go
the,
first with your.
You know what? Yeah,
flick.
Let's go. Let's go with my flick, which is a pretty big name, and then we'll go with Jeff's, and then we'll end with your big name.
Okay. So,
okay.
Do you want a drum roll for yours or the scare?
No, just
sound?
For Naz. Just for Naz.
Does he get the drum roll or the scare?
He gets the scary sound.
Okay.
me, I got running back Brandon Jacobs of the New York Giants. He's going up against the number one ranked rush defense this week in the Ravens. They are only allowing 65 rush yards per game. 65.
Let's see here.
That does not look good.
Barely half the football field.
that does not look good at all for Brandon Jacobs. I think it's going to be a low scoring affair. It's going to be a little bit colder in New York this week. And it's just going to be. The whole East Coast is going to be cold.
Do you realize we're going to be cold. When we leave. That Sunday night to drive down to Orlando to catch our flight,
it's going
to
be
35 degrees.
Yeah, I know.
That's cold.
You know, I think you're going to see a lot of in this game, Derek Ward and Ahmad Bradshaw, because those are elusive backs, and they're probably not going to run very well against them, but at least they catch the ball. I mean, Brandon Jacobs kind of doesn't catch the ball exactly too well. So I think you're probably right. It's going to be a pretty defensive game there. But I think that if you got Derek Ward, and I'm going to be having – I have to start him in one league. It's the PPR league at least. But
I would start Derek Ward over Brandon.
15 touches a game. So I kind of like him in this game as kind of a sneaky play.
Sneaky play. All right, Jeffrey, who is your running back to flick this week?
My flicker at the running back position would be none other than Boston Legal.
Ben Jarvis Greenellis LLP?
Yes.
There you go.
All
you
four
mean
of
law
them.
Firm?
The law firm. Call him what you will, and he's a heck of a player, but let's the Jets just play really good run defense.
Yes, they
and
do.
A job that is shared against a really good run defense is a running back to avoid. All okay? Right. Let that go. Be said. And now
the flick of the century, people. Mike Nazarek says, flick.
Make a big deal out of this. If you got LaDainian Thomas on your team, flick him off your starting roster this week. He's playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to stop him cold. Well, he'll probably catch some passes, but I don't think he's going to score this week. And I'm really talking now, most of you out there, if you're kind of weak at running back but you got LT, you're probably going to start him anyway. But if you're really stacked and you got like maybe Michael Turner and maybe you drafted Chris Johnson late, you know, as a sleeper, and of course he's starting now for the Titans, and you got LT, then you sit LT and go with the other guys because I just don't think he's going to get much this week. You're talking maybe lucky to get 60, 70 total yards and maybe an outside chance of a score or a catch. I don't know.
All right, so here.
Surprise!
All right, here you go. So let me. I got LT on one team, and this is my stable of running backs. Okay, I've got LT, I've got Michael Turner, I've got Willis McGahee, I've got Ricky Williams, and I've got Julius Jones. Do I go with LT and Michael Turner, or do I sit?
I go with LT and Michael Turner,
or I keep Michael Turner. I sit LT and start McGahee?
I tell you, you know, if we knew that McGahee was going to start and carry the load, I mean, you know, last week there, John Harbaugh was doing the old Shanahan trick.
Yeah, I had him on the
bench. I'm going to start this one, and then I'm going to let him play for a little bit, and then, oh, let's bring in Willis. Oh, he's running good. Let's reuse him the rest of the game.
Yeah,
so.
That cost me. He had 23 points last week on my
bench. I know. Well, it's kind of a risk, but, you know, probably, he's going to get in the game. So if he practices the rest of this week and looks okay, then I'd probably end up going with McGahee and sitting LT. I mean, if it's not a PPR and you know really it leans more towards scoring, then you know McGahee's been pretty darn good at the goal.
Yeah. There you go. So that's the big news. We're going out there and saying LT is not going to be looking that good against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I agree.
Not, well, and I also don't think that LT is healthy. Let's just be honest about that, okay?
Well, he's still got the toe. You know, I mean, that toe is costing him
severely.
Get better, but I don't think, you know, anything other than about 7 or 8 weeks of rest. That's what he said, right? He said that this is something you got to play through, and I can't just take it off 2 or 3 weeks isn't going to make it any better.
Yeah, there are some plays when you see him make a cut,
yes,
that he is in pain. And he immediately comes out after that play.
Yep.
He sits for a couple, and then he's right back out there. And I just don't think that's a good way to go.
That's
yeah,
not
I think
Ladanian
another
Thomas
running back is and not healthy and has really struggled is Joseph Addai in Indianapolis.
Yes.
Live and
he
let
just doesn't
die.
Look right. And they keep saying, he's okay. But he had that partially torn hamstring, and he's not carrying it. I mean, Dominic Rose is looking better than Addai.
Also, to give you more information, the Pittsburgh Steelers are second right behind the Baltimore Ravens, only allowing 69 rush yards per game.
There you go. That's the reason. Another reason to flick them.
You know,
just for this week. Don't flick them off your roster, okay?
Yeah. No. just leave them on the bench this week.
But just know this. I mean, there honestly is so many guys that trust your eyes, people. If you get a chance to see enough games, if you're lucky enough to have maybe an NFL Sunday ticket or something like that, trust what you see. When you see a player that we have seen, because we live in Southern California, we get to see Ladanian Tomlinson almost every weekend on just regular TV
because right.
They're our closest affiliate.
Right.
And so when you see him not doing what we have seen him do year after year after year, you know that there's something wrong. Nobody
yeah.
ages that quickly.
You can't listen to the coach when he says, well, he's okay. I don't know what's wrong with him.
That's crap. That is a bunch of crap. And yeah. And you're seeing that with a lot of players right now. And I tell fantasy owners out there, trust your eyes.
Trust your eyes.
All
right, wide receivers, who are we flicking? Jeffrey, we'll start with you.
All right, since I got the mic and I got the mouth, wide receiver Calvin Johnson, Detroit, 9 points against Jacksonville last week, and this week a much stingier Carolina defense, third fewest points to wide receivers in all the NFL. Most people have him as an obvious start every week, and I say...
Warning.
Ooh.
Okay, that's not nearly as dramatic as flicking LT, but flicking Calvin Johnson, that's pretty controversial
well,
as
is.
Well.
It is.
I agree with that if you've got, you know, a big stable of wide receivers that you can turn to. I mean, obviously, I think just like LT, if you've got Calvin Johnson as your number one and your number three is somebody like Ted Ginn, you know, you're probably going to end up starting him. So, you know, but if you're deep like that and you got Colston and Coles and Mark Bradley and, good God, Mark Bradley's looking like a little bit better play than Calvin Johnson this week, isn't he?
Yeah. All right, speaking of Teddy Ginn Jr., Nez, give us your flick.
You just led that right into my flick, didn't you? I just happened to look up on my screen and say, yeah, that's who I'm flicking this week.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name, Jeff, again? You said it so well. Namdi
Asomugha.
What's the last name? Say it again, Jeff.
Asomugha?
No, it's Namdi Asomugha.
I'm not looking at it. I have to look at it.
Manure?
I have to look at something, and I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, it's Nasi Am-
I'm just kidding you. I couldn't say it. I think it's it Asomugha, or I don't know what it is. Anyway,
I think it's
the
all-pro corner
for the Oakland Raiders. The last 2 weeks he shut down Roddy White, and then last week he allowed one catch for 9 yards to Steve Smith. So Ted Ginn is the speed guy for Miami, and Camarillo is the possession guy. So he's going to be all over Ted Ginn. And Ted Ginn made what a catch in the end zone with two guys all over him for Seattle last week, but I don't think he's going to have an opportunity to make that catch on Namdi this week.
Okay. And I know there's a lot of consonants in the name. It's Namdi Asomugha. That's it.
Asomugha.
Yes.
Asomugha.
Yes.
Well said. Okay, well spoken.
All right. And you're right. Namdi, the Pro Bowl cornerback, probably the only bright spot for the Oakland Raiders.
There you go. You're right. And of course, they're trying to sign him long-term, and he doesn't want to sign with them. I wonder why.
I want to play on a real team.
I'd be like, no, thank you. I don't care how much money you want to give me. I want to start playing in a contender.
Yeah, I'll take my $12 million for this year, please. And and it is, and in one of these years, you get tired of paying me $12 million, and I'll go and make $30 million for somebody else.
Right. And for hair, make sure it's guaranteed Gura dollars, and make sure you get the check right away, and then take it straight to the bank and cash it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very, very important.
All right, the wide receiver that I'm flicking off my roster, not off my roster, but to the bench this week, wide receiver Chris Chambers of the San Diego Chargers. It's tough to pass on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're ranked number one against the pass, and the Chargers have not looked good on the road. They laid eggs at Miami and at Buffalo, just not looking too good on the road. I don't trust San Diego's offense right now. And Chris Chambers will probably not do much.
You know, there's another reason to do that, because I got burned by this too. The injury report saying, oh, he practiced late in the week. He's fine. He's got the ankle. He barely saw the field last week.
Yeah, he
may not. Now, what happened today? He practiced today, and he's not even on the injury report. But I don't trust him, just like you.
Practice could mean that he took his driver out of his bag and hit a couple balls.
That's right. You know? That's right. Yeah. So practice. Until he actually plays in a game and actually does something, I'm sitting him, and that might extend beyond this week. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, Malcolm Floyd's been stealing all his looks.
All right. And finally, the tight end position. Naz, why don't you go first and finish us out?
Well, here's another guy that you're going to get a look at, Mercedes Lewis, who has kind of been up and down. He's a pretty good red zone threat, doesn't get very many targets. But once again, they're playing the Titans this week, and I just think that they're going to be all over all the receivers, including the tight end. And Mercedes Lewis will probably be lucky to catch one or two passes. I doubt that one will be for a score. So you sit him this week.
Well, I hope that... You know, because we got to be pulling for Jacksonville. You got to understand, we're going to be surrounded by a lot of men who are allowed to carry arms, firearms.
Hey, that's fine with me. I've got MJD on a couple of multiple teams, so go MJD.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to hear Jacksonville scoring a lot this week. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of unhappy sailors, and I'm afraid that they might make me walk the plank back on the ship.
I hope that they do the keel on you.
Do the keel?
Yeah.
I don't know about the keel. This tradition. Is this like a wedgie?
It's kind of like it's a wedgie that they do with the ship.
Well,
they
the kind keel of, is supposed run to be you, in the water.
Yes, that's right. Ooh. They run you along the bottom of the ship and scratch you up against the barnacles.
Oh,
that's nice.
God. Steven, this is like
I
after
would, I will not let them do that to you.
I
okay?
loan you my belt sander, and now you thank me by saying, speaking of belt sanders, they rub you up against a bunch of barnacles.
Yeah, I know. I won't let them do that to you, I promise.
Please don't.
Okay.
We're there to encourage the troops, man.
Yes, we are. They might get encouraged. Jeff jinxed the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, well,
Keo.
Yeah, that's true. They do have cause to hate me, but I'm trying, man.
All right. So Nas says flick Mercedes Lewis. Jeffrey, who you flick?
I say Zach Miller, but again, that falls under the umbrella of Steven Miranda's. The Oakland Raiders aren't even a team. Bad matchup at Miami. Miami smothers tight ends, and Zach Miller will be their latest victim. And so there
that's
you go.
That's why I didn't flick any Oakland Raiders this week. It was just going to be too easy. I just said, you know what? Just the whole team. Just avoid them.
Steven, that makes you this.
Bud Light presents
Real Men of
Real
Genius.
Men
yeah.
of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year, you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Make-believe football, baby. And the final flick of the week, I've got Minnesota's tight end, Vasanthi Shenko. He's the number 9 tight end overall in points, but this week he's not going to get it done on the road against a tough Bucs defense. The only way Minnesota is competitive in that game is run the ball often with Adrian Peterson and Chester Taylor. They're not going to be doing a lot of passing, and Shenko here is not going to benefit.
Going to the bench.
So, there you go. That is all of the clicks and flicks for week 11. As Jeffrey said earlier in the show, no more buys. Every single team
Bye-bye.
Is back on the field. That means 16 games, all 32 teams, every single player on those teams that is not on IR or on crutches or, you know.
On roids.
Yeah. Will be available to you. Anything else that you'd like to say, Naz?
Well, we're getting closer to the playoffs. This is a stretch drive run, and a lot of leagues out there have their trading deadline this week or next week. So take a look at your, just like Jeff said, take a look at your roster. If you see any weak spots and you got any depth anywhere, especially any guys that, you know, are coming off big weeks and they kind of overperformed, and I think David Garrard is one of these guys, you might want to move him, trade him, and in order to fill the need. And also take a look at your matchups down the stretch. And like you said, if you got any extra players, like a second tight end, I know Jason Witten's kind of beat up, but, you know, if you picked up Billy Miller for 1 week, you know, you might want to end up dumping him for Mark Bradley if you're kind of thin at wide receiver. And, of course, Thigpen's out there. Pick him up. You know, I mean, he makes a great third quarterback. So you got to start managing for the playoffs here.
Minimally.
Even if you're like 5-5 right now because you win 3 in a row, you're in.
Steven, Naz, I need you to say this too, because let's face it, fantasy football is make-believe football, but it is still a cutthroat entertainment.
It is, absolutely.
And so let's pick up Tyler Thigpen if he's out there for no other reason than to keep him out of somebody else's hands.
That's right. A guy having a big week on your bench, you know, especially when you win,
way better than losing to that
those
guy.
Are points that sat on your bench and cannot be scored against you.
That's right.
In the future at all.
That's right.
And Tyler Thigpen in the ESPN leagues, which our leagues are being hosted on, is only owned on 16% of teams.
16%?
Yeah,
wow.
16%.
But those
owned.
Are not the fantasy football rants and raves leagues.
Well,
let me tell you,
several of our leagues, he is available, and I'm picking him up.
I went through
right
and
now.
Got him. I got him in one. I grabbed him. Last thing I want to
claim.
Say.
Claim. just claimed him right now.
Well,
on the show.
It's okay because the waivers don't go through until Thursday night, and
true.
I am so above you in waiver priority because I suck. Okay, but we got that off my chest. Last thing I want to say is for those who live in the South, we are headed to the South. We're going to be on the South Coast, actually. Jacksonville, Florida this weekend. We are making a very brief appearance. You can catch us Sunday night out at Sneakers on the Atlantic. And that should, for local folks near Jacksonville, it's about 16, 18 miles due east of Jacksonville, right on the water on the Atlantic Ocean.
All right.
And it's a great sports place where they've
and
got like a 30-foot high def to watch the Dallas Cowboys play the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
And we will be there making an appearance. They got
go
a
Cowboys.
Roped off area for us. So come on down. Say hey. We're going to have a little trivia contest, give out a few T-shirts and stuff like that. So
all
come
right.
on down.
Once again,
hey guys, I think you should tour. And when the season's over, just go on tour.
We do it in season, and we just do it real slowly.
Yeah, go
last
on
year
tour.
We did Seattle and London. This year we did London and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make our way around.
All right, Naz, thank you very much for joining us. Once again, you can catch Michael Nazarek and all of his wonderful information at www.ffmastermind.com, the guru himself. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right,
we'll see you next
mate.
Week. And why don't we just wrap it up, Jeffrey, for Jeffrey Ellis and Steven Miranda and, of course, Michael Nazarek in Henderson, Nevada. This has been Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Good night.